Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, this is the Burke Allen Show on WAMS with Billboard Magazine award-winning broadcaster Burke Allen. Interesting guests, intriguing topics, and your phone calls at 718-506-1944. The Burke Allen Show is a presentation of Allen Media Strategies, online at allenmediastrategies.com. Now, celebrating his third decade behind the mic, here's Burke Allen.
Thanks so much for listening today as we broadcast live from the nation's capital. And if you're listening to us live today, we are exactly 1 week away from Halloween 2011. And our guest today, I think, is perfect for this week. Author, broadcaster, and lecturer Dr. Peter Shield is the host of Peter Shield's World of Unexplained Mysteries radio and TV series. And Dr. Shield has been at this now going on his fourth decade, based in Las Vegas near Area 51, where all sorts of strange and interesting things happen. He's a regular lecturer on topics including visitors from outer space. And down through the years, thousands upon thousands of people have listened to Dr. Shield and seen him on television, and we're proud to welcome Dr. Peter Shield to the Burke Allen Show. Peter, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Burke. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Let's dial it back to the beginning and tell me what got you interested to begin with in things that are unexplained, unexplained mysteries.
Are you referring to my first wife?
Oh, my. All right, now, stop that.
No, I in the early 50s, I was Associated Press's photographer in the Middle East. And as fate would have it, I ended up on the little island of Malta in the Mediterranean. My role there was to cover the controversy and the problems going on between the British government and the Maltese dockyard at that time. And also the uprising in Cyprus between the Greeks and the Turks. And I covered that region for Associated Press for about 5 years. During that time, I was assigned to photograph all of the artifacts that had been left by the remnants of the Knights Templar that set up as the Knights of Malta on the island of Malta. And the both religious artifacts and archaeological artifacts that were housed on the island. In the process of doing that, I was introduced to a gentleman called Dr. David Trump, who was then head of archaeology at Cambridge University. And to cut a long story short, I spent 5 years working with him on the excavation of the catacombs on the island of Malta. Any of your listeners, if they go to MaltaHeritage.com, will be able to see the catacombs and see the work that I did there in the early 50s. But it generated an interest in archaeology and certainly in many of the unexplained mysteries associated with that field of work.
Dr. Peter Shield is our guest today. He's based in Las Vegas. He's the author of many books, including In the Image of His God, about the Shroud of Turin. And you've been called now a real-life Indiana Jones, and I wonder what you make of that title.
Well, Indiana Jones, of course, is my favorite fictional character, needless to say. Harrison Ford has done a wonderful job depicting me over the years. a wonderful character. Of course, the material is so far-fetched that it causes people in my field, of course, to chuckle a little bit. But he's deeply respected for the interest that he's generated in archaeology. A lot of young people take up that business and go into that career simply as a result of having their imagination fired by people like Indiana Jones and similar fictional characters. When you look at people like, for example, Howard Carter, for example, who discovered Tutankhamun's tomb, probably one of the most famous archaeologists of our time, that man spent 12 years in the desert and found absolutely nothing until he discovered his major find, of course. And that's an incredible testimony to the resilience and the determination of people in this field. It's an exciting field to be in. And it has changed so dramatically over the last, 20 years.
Our guest, Dr. Peter Shields, is the longtime host of Unexplained Mysteries on radio and TV. You're based there in Las Vegas, and I lived in Las Vegas back in the late 90s as a broadcaster. And you're very close to Area 51. Is the fact that you're based in Las Vegas tied into Area 51 and UFOs, or is that happenstance?
I'd love to tell you that it was, but no, it's pure happenstance. I was involved after I left the field of archaeology, and I wasn't really in it for a lot of years. After Malta, I went back to Cambridge and taught photography to, would you believe, archaeologists. And from there, went to Ireland with Trinity College, and then eventually to Australia. But in Australia, I found a newfound field of endeavor in the form of broadcasting, and of course got involved in radio there across 47 radio stations with the Macquarie Network, and on television, and of course my World of Unexplained Mysteries television show in Queensland, and my children's television program, which was strangely enough based on magic, broadcast out of Perth in Western Australia. And it was my love and interest of the world of magic that actually brought me to Las Vegas. I actually performed here in the early or mid-50s, and then again, of course, as recently as the 90s.
Outstanding. So you know very well, as someone with a magic background, about sleight of hand and about hoaxes. Has that made your decisions a little more informed, made you a little more skeptical whenever you look into unexplained mysteries?
Oh, unquestionably so. It's a great asset to have up your sleeve. It was the basis under which, of course, the most famous magician, I guess, of all time, Houdini, got himself involved in things like spiritualism and the exposure of hoaxes and phony spiritualists over the years. It's a great background to have in any field, and certainly in the field of archaeology, where there are a great number of hoaxes, perpetuated over the years. And now, as my interest expands into things like the possibility of alien intervention on archaeological sites, that background is even more important.
Dr. Peter J. Shield is our guest today. He's based in Las Vegas, the author of many books and the host of the long-running Unexplained Mysteries radio and television show. When we come back, I want to get into, Peter, some of the more intriguing unexplained mysteries and get your take from your firsthand knowledge of them. It's the Burke Allen Show, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. today. If you'd like to be a part of the program, our number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. Back with more with Dr. Peter J. Shield right after this on The Burke Allen Show.
You're listening to the radio right now. That means you're a radio fan. Did you ever think, I could do that? I could be on the radio? Well, now you can. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com now and sign up for a free online course to help you get your own radio show. Talk shows, music shows, and more. It's fun, easy, and best of all, you can learn in your own home. Find out how. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com today. That's GetYourOwnRadioShow.com. GetYourOwnRadioShow.com.
This just in. Now you can speak your email instead of typing it. It's the revolutionary new online breakthrough that's being called the next big thing on the internet. Video email. It's easy to use, saves time, and you'll be the first to have it. But wait, there's more. You could also broadcast your own live TV show online. Use it for family, friends, or business presentations. Video email and online TV broadcast? How much would that cost? Hundreds? Thousands? How about less than $4 a day? Find out more. Visit GreatVideoTool.com today. That's GreatVideoTool.com. Do it now. GreatVideoTool.com.
Are you afraid of things that go bump in the night? Dark Force, the true and terrifying story of Bill Bean, has been featured on the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, Coast to Coast AM, and more. Now, Bill Bean shares his amazing story of horror and redemption in his own words. You can own a personally autographed copy of Dark Force by Bill Bean at a special low price for radio listeners. Visit BillBeanBook.com today. That's BillBeanBook.com, and experience Dark Force.
From our underground broadcast bumper in Washington, D.C., I'm Burke Allen. Thank you for listening. The number is 718-506-1944. Dr. Peter J. Shields is our guest today. He's the host of the long-running Unexplained Mysteries radio and television program broadcast worldwide and has done quite a bit of archaeological work. And let's start there. Let's talk about your book and your experiences with the Shroud. And for folks who aren't familiar with the Shroud, maybe just a quick backgrounder. This is the, if I understand it correctly, purported to be the burial cloth of Christ. Is that right?
Yes, and I'm glad you say reported to be, because, well, strange as this may sound coming from an archaeologist, we never will prove whether or not this was in fact the burial cloth of Christ. What people in my field and what archaeologists and scientists around the world have spent quite a considerable number of years trying to ascertain is not in fact whether this was the burial cloth of Christ, but how, in fact, the image that is on the cloth got there. That's the unexplained mystery that should be able to be resolved with our superb technical abilities today, and yet we have still not found a solution. Many people have claimed to be able to duplicate the image that's on the cloth, but nobody has really ever come close. The cloth, of course, is showing the image of a six-foot man. He was naked. He wore a beard and shoulder-length hair. He had an enlarged chest, which would be the result of trying to breathe. He'd been beaten with a Roman flagrum, which is a whip used by the Romans with three metal tips on that makes a very distinguishable mark on the body. He had puncture marks on his skull. He had bled while being upright, we assume on the cross. And he'd suffered most of the wounds whilst he was still alive. One wound, however, on the side with no swelling indicated that the wound happened after he had died. Now, all of these indications are identical to that we read about and is described in the biblical account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So for years now, not only have people tried and pondered over the image, which, by the way, I must mention, the most mysterious and unexplained mystery is the fact that it is in a negative form. We never really realized what it was until Secondo Pio, back in the 1800s, took the first photograph of the Shroud, and as he was developing it, suddenly realized as he looked at what should have been a negative that he was now looking at a positive. So the image of the man on the Shroud is in fact in reverse. It is a negative image.
And since you spent obviously hundreds of hours researching this for your book, In the Image of God, which I should mention is available on Peter's website, peterjshield.com, and bookstores everywhere, amazon.com, what is your learned opinion? Is this the real deal?
Well, let me first of all correct the website, pjshield.com. Peterjshield.com takes you to a family background history of my recently deceased son, and it's a memorial site to him. But of my 13 websites, the easiest one to remember is pjshield.com, which has links to all other of the 13 of the websites. Yes, unquestionably, the Shroud has been very predominant in my life over the last few years. The mystery is absolutely incredible. And funnily enough, like your good self, I first got involved with the Shroud as a result of a phone call from a listener during my radio program in Sydney, Australia, who wanted to know more about the Shroud. And that prompted my interest. I knew of it. I'd had no involvement or background. But as a result of that, I did a six-hour radio program spread over 2 days where we interviewed all of the scientists that had been involved in what they called the STIRP team, the group of scientists that went to Turin in the 70s to try to ascertain how that image got on the cloth. Again, let me stress, not to ascertain whether the cloth had wrapped the body of Christ, but just how scientifically that image could have got on the cloth. And the results of those interviews were phenomenal. Over 9 of the 10 people that I interviewed for that particular program all claimed that there was no explanation and that the image on the cloth definitely led them to believe that this was the authentic cloth that could very well have wrapped the body of Jesus Christ. Now then, as many of your listeners who have had any interest in the shroud will know, 10 years later, in 1988, the shroud was subjected to carbon dating. And that carbon dating, which was carried out by three independent universities around the world, indicated that the shroud was in fact a 14th century piece of cloth. Well, of course, if it was a 14th century piece of cloth, it certainly couldn't have wrapped Christ in the first century or AD 30 when Christ, according to the Catholic Church, was believed to have died. April the 9th, by the way, in AD 30. And consequently, this sparked a lot of questions in the minds of many of us who've been involved with the shroud. If, in fact, this evidence was so strong, if the blood on the shroud was so convincing, so authentic, how then could it possibly be a 14th century cloth? So I, in my first ever attempt at writing fiction, sat down and thought, well, what could have happened which could have either misled the universities or caused the results? And I came up with this strange plot of the Pope smuggling the shroud out of Turin to the little island of Malta, where I had such a wide archaeological knowledge, and hiding the shroud there and substituting it with a fake that was produced by Leonardo da Vinci, the results of which, of course, meant that the shroud that was actually carbon dated was not the real shroud at all, but the replica produced by Leonardo. And by the way, we know of 37 replicas that were produced around that time.
Is that right? The book that Peter references, by the way, In the Image of His God, is available, and you can pick it up online at pjshield.com, amazon.com, and bookstores everywhere. You also spend a lot of time on UFOs and being close to Area 51, and I know that you do lots of lecturing there in the Las Vegas area. And on the subject, tell me what you've learned about UFOs and what your gut tells you.
Well, to be perfectly frank, your statement is half correct, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but I've never really had an interest in UFOs per se. The reason I say that is one of the early astronauts was very clear in pointing out to me many, many years ago when I was doing some interviews, again, like yourself, on radio with NASA at the time that Space Lab fell to shore. And fell to land, I asked, I believe it was John Glenn at the time, what in fact was a UFO? And he said, well, a Qantas aircraft flying over Australia is a UFO if you don't understand exactly what it is. It's an unidentified flying object. If you're talking about aliens flying around in our atmosphere, which is what I'm sure you are referring to, and which, of course, we had such a great insight into in the movie Independence Day, one of my all-time favorite movies, that brings home, first, the UFO possibility, secondly, the Area 51 involvement. But I, like so many of my colleagues, unquestionably believe that we are not alone in the universe. There is definitely other life forms out there in the billions of stars and galaxies that exist beyond our solar system. The nearest possible inhabited star is Alpha Centauri, of course. But ever since recorded time began, man has looked in awe at the heavens in search of visitors from beyond Earth. And every day we get hundreds of reports of abductions and UFO sightings. And there are biblical accounts, of course, of chariots of fire and heavenly apparitions shown on very early cave drawings. So I guess right from the early comic books and science fiction, we've had a fascination with space visitors and space travel. And within our lifetime, of course, we've seen man take wings and journey to the moon and beyond, ever in search of extraterrestrial intelligence. But if you're asking me, do I believe that we have aliens in flight in our solar system, my answer is a categorical no. the technical problems involved are something that you really have to study to understand and to comprehend, and they make it virtually impossible. The nearest possible inhabited star to us would be part of the Alpha Centauri complex, which is 4.5 light years away. Now, that doesn't sound very far, does it? 4.5 light years? I mean, have you any idea how fast a rocket traveling at the very fastest speed that we could possibly comprehend here on Earth, how long would it take that rocket, do you think, unless this is something you've studied, it would take to get to a planet just 4.5 light years away?
I would imagine the answer is quite some time. Tell me.
Well, it's 26 quadrillion, or quadrillion, I should say, miles away. Now, the fastest time that man has ever traveled was the Apollo 10 spacecraft on reentry at the end of its mission. And that was going, would you believe, at 24,830 miles per hour. At that speed, our flight time to the nearest, mind you, nearest possible inhabited planet would be a mere 121,686 years. Now, that's if you travel at the fastest speed that we currently can travel at, in a practical sense, and according to Professor George Rhee here at UNLV's physics department, that's 3,000 kilometers per hour, it would take 3 million years for the return journey. Now, to believe that somebody could overcome that sort of distance and land on our planet in a field somewhere in Iowa and pluck 3 hairs out of a farmer's head and then take off and fly back is totally beyond my comprehension.
Peter J. Shield is an archaeologist, an author, broadcaster, a photojournalist for many years with the Associated Press, a mentalist, and also has a magic background as a performer there in Las Vegas, and is the host of Unexplained Mysteries on both television and radio worldwide. I also want to ask you, before we run out of time, because you've talked to so many interesting people doing your broadcast, your thoughts on the paranormal. Are there ghosts among us? What have you learned there?
Well, again, I'm a very practical man. There are a great deal of many unexplained, and that's why my radio and my television series was called The World of Unexplained Mysteries. And quite frankly, when people ring up and say, "Oh, Peter, tell us, you know, what's the cause of the Bermuda Triangle?" Well, if it was on my program, it's unexplained, and I don't have an explanation. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an unexplained mystery. It would belong on somebody else's show. But the bottom line is, many people genuinely believe that experiences that they encounter, be it sighting of UFOs or psychic or spiritual experiences, are very genuine and very real. But that's a personal matter. The only thing I can say to you is, despite Ghostbusters and despite these fantasized so-called reality shows that we see on television, there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever for either spirit communication, For that matter, and I don't mean to discourage your listeners because we all have our personal beliefs, but life after death, or certainly return. Houdini again comes to mind as a man who gave a commitment to his wife, Bess, that on the 10th anniversary of his demise, that he would return to Earth. If there was any possible way to break the bounds of death, he would, in fact, return to her, and he gave her, you recall, a password, a secret code that would let her know immediately if she was being misled or if somebody claimed to have communicated with him. And that was the word believe. And, of course, after 10 years, Beth stood on the roof of the Knickerbocker Hotel in downtown Los Angeles at a seance, which they used to hold appropriately enough on Halloween, on October 31st, every year, to try to contact Houdini. She stood up and said, "I believe the veil is closed." He never did return. So I guess that's an appropriate note to finish on.
Fair enough. Dr. Peter J. Shield, thank you so much for spending time with us today. The website for folks to visit is pjshield.com. And if folks are not there in the Las Vegas area, they want to listen to the radio program or access some of your TV shows, what's the best way to do that online?
Well, there are links again on that. VegasMysteries.com is my radio program website. I'm on a sabbatical at the moment. I've got an international trip planned very shortly, so I've put the radio program on hold at the moment. I'm involved with the world's most intriguing man, a gentleman by the name of Lonnie Hammergren, whom, again, your listeners can read about on that website. And somebody, by the way, you should talk to at some stage, Beck. I know you've got a fascinating program from him. But again, listeners will find out all about that on that website. But VegasMysteries.com, they can listen to my broadcasts and learn a little bit about what I'm doing currently.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the program today.
My sincere thanks. It was an absolute pleasure. My regards to your listeners, and you have a wonderful Halloween.
Thanks, you as well. Dr. Peter J. Shield, our guest today on the Burke Allen Show, pjshield.com. pjshield.com is where you can find him online. Thanks for listening. In Washington, D.C., I'm Burke Allen. Now, go out and make it a great day.